I was kind of ready to do something else. I was really liking working on like some print stuff with styling that was more just like fashion based or, you know, lifestyle stuff. And that was fun. And then I ended up getting to work on a Madonna tour about 12 years ago. It was the MDNA tour.
That's under wild.
The amazing costume designer, Ariane Phillips. That was a really amazing opportunity. Very grueling job. Again, it was a whole different world for me because I'd never done a music tour.
Welcome to the Moms Who Create podcast. I'm Kelly Heil, a mom, author, and artist, and I'm on a mission to celebrate and empower you. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, I'm sharing my insights and resources, diving into the stories of amazing writers, artists, and entrepreneurs, and helping you rewrite the narrative of balancing motherhood with your creative journey. Grab your coffee, a notebook, and let's get started. This is the Moms Who Create podcast. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to this week's episode of the Moms Who Create podcast. So, did you watch the show on Netflix, Orange is the New Black? Or do you like Madonna? Because if so, you're going to love Molly. She is kind of amazing. Molly is a stylist who has over 15 years in TV, film, print, and personal styling. She worked in New York for years in the film industry as a costume designer. And now she's currently based in Santa Rosa, California. She has a lot of clients with careers in the Silicon Valley, San Francisco, but she also does remote work with her clients as well. Molly is, of course, a mom, and you're going to hear her amazing journey today of where she started and what she's doing now and how she became a parent along the way. You're just going to love her as much as I do. So enjoy today's episode. Molly, thank you so much for joining me today. I have talked to a lot of authors, artists, but I love when I get like a musician. I've had an interior designer, makeup artist, but you are my first stylist that I have on the show. So I'm really excited to like dive into your world and hear about what you do and what you've done and how you do that on top of being a mom. So I'm excited to talk to you today. So thank you so much for joining me.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me. I hope I do well by the rest of the stylists out there by being your first one.
You're setting the bar. All right. So let's just jump into you. So just go ahead and introduce yourself to everyone first.
Okay. My name's Molly, and Rivashadas Jimenez is my very long, complicated last name. And I'm a stylist based in the Bay Area in Northern California. And I've been doing some sort of what I'm doing now for like 18 or plus years, including, you know, education and all that good stuff. Yeah. That's pretty much the beginning.
That's awesome. I want to ask you, what inspired you to become a stylist? If you want to know about me and my style, I'm wearing this romper that I got at Aldi.
Very cute.
And the worst part is that I love it. I love it. You know how people talk about like getting clothes at Costco and stuff? Like,
totally. I'm all in for that. Like, whatever works and is comfy, like, do it.
Exactly.
I'm here for Kirkland fashion all the way up to Prada. Like, no judgment.
Yes, that's great. So kind of like start from the beginning and tell us your journey on being a stylist.
Wow. Okay. Well, I've never really done anything else. I'll start with that. I definitely had jobs, you know, as a teenager, as we all do, kind of getting out there. But as a professional, I have done some sort of iteration of this my whole working life. I definitely was creative as a kid, as I'm sure a lot of us, you know, like draw our dresses we would love to have, or I would love to like sketch out homes I wanted to design or little things like that, for sure. And I definitely like loved when I got a little like back to school budget for buying clothes. And I was always like really excited to pick out those outfits. So that was kind of, you know, just little hints looking back that I kind of was, you know, led to what I ended up doing. But I guess it wasn't until I was really in college and I went to undergrad at UC Santa Barbara, go Gauchos, and was sort of struggling to find my major there. I really liked history. I just didn't know like what to major in. It was kind of getting to the point where you had to choose one. I know these days, like folks are having to go in with their majors from the get-go and have their whole lives planned out by 18. Right. But I was still like figuring it out. And then I had a friend that was taking a costume design course that was offered within the theater department. And I took it and I was like, boom, like, this is it. I love it. It started out with just loving to like draw costumes. I was, you know, fairly good at drawing and really enjoyed it, was really inspired by drawing. So I would just love to like read plays and then design costumes for those plays, and just sort of, it started there. And then I majored in it in undergrad. And then I went to grad school for it as well. We do this whole thing, it's USITT, I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with that in the theater world, where you show, I think that's what it's called, show your portfolio when you're like a senior in college. And then other schools will come look at you and offer scholarships. And at that time, I didn't really know what else to do. I didn't have any connections in theater or TV and film, which in those days, I'm not sure if it's still the case, you kind of had to major in theater, even if you wanted to do costume design for TV or film, which is what kind of over the course of the figuring out my major, which is a theater major at UCSB, but there was like an emphasis in costume design that I kind of was like, I'm gearing towards TV and film where, you know, that was where my passion was more than theater, but you still study theater and do it for theater from an academic standpoint. So that was the case. And so I went to this, you know, showed my portfolios, and a bunch of schools, you know, show their interest of varying levels. And I was recruited by UW-Madison, Wisconsin. And I went there for graduate school, got a scholarship there and got an MFA, which is a 3-year program there. So just went to school forever and awesome. Finally got out at 25 and was like, oh my gosh, what do I do? But within that time, the nice thing about the grad school is they, you know, the professors there pair you with someone who's hopefully still, you know, working in the profession somewhat. And I had a lovely mentor there, Gail Broussard, who was a Broadway and beyond designer who had become a professor. And she sort of showed me the way and gave me some opportunities. And it just sort of started from there. Long-winded answer to your question.
No, that's amazing. Sorry. No, I love hearing people's backgrounds and like what they did to be where they are now. Cause you know, I could look at your resume and be like, wow, you're in TV and film and you did all this stuff. And it's, you know, people don't see like everything, the years you went to school and the hard work you put in to get to that point.
That's such a good point. The montage of the movie is 10 seconds, but really it's like 15 years, right?
Right. But like our brains don't think like that. We're just like, they did that overnight. That's not fair.
Yeah, that's too hard. That's not going to happen for me. Totally. All about the hard work and putting in the time. That is 100% how you get there.
Absolutely. So let's talk about your work. Tell me about the cool projects you've done, what you're doing now, what your favorite thing has been. Just like, tell me all the things that you love about style and design. So if you haven't heard, the Moms Who Create Journal is here. I am so excited to share this with you all. I've created this journal for you to fill with your project ideas, whether you're a writer, artist, entrepreneur, musician, or just a creative of any kind. If you're listening to this podcast, I guarantee that this journal is for you. With over 100 blank pages to plan your dreams, here's a space for your creativity to take flight. Go to momswhocreate.com/journal for more information. Available now on Amazon.
Question to think about. I guess I really, when I did start out after school, I was really passionate about TV and film. And I just sort of stuck with whatever I could until I finally sort of got my foot in the door, which I will say I didn't think it was going to happen for me either. And you just kind of have to think outside the box and stay at it. I was kind of like doing whatever jobs I could because I hadn't really worked for a long time being in school for so long. So I didn't know how it was going to happen, but eventually I came to a friend from growing up. I realized somehow that she had family like in the TV and film business. And I basically like asked them to hire me on their next film. And at first they turned me down and I was like, you know, about ready to accept that. And then I had a couple friends be like, well, why don't you offer to work for free or do it as an internship? And it was like, hello, you know, aha, duh. Like that is definitely an option. So I offered to do that on an independent film that was shooting and they said yes. And so what eventually ended up happening, and I was lucky enough to be able to stay with a friend who was also working on it because it was her aunt's film or aunt and uncle's film. Nice. John Sayles, who's a very well-known writer and independent filmmaker. And Maggie Renzi is his longtime partner. And so she was kind enough to let me start. And I loved it. It was the greatest first experience because you're like away from home and everybody's sort of together away from home. And you kind of have this quick little family and it's very dramatic. And, you know, it's everything you hoped it would be. It was like, you're working these crazy hours, especially on an independent film, you know, the budget's not there. So everyone's right. Doing a little bit of everything. And the costume designer on that film, Hope Hannafin, who has designed quite a few TV and films over the years, was kind enough to hire me in her costume department. And I was just a PA in the costume department, just like exposed. And it was, you know, I'll never forget. It was so, I was like, oh my God, this is it. This is what everybody talks about. And it's so exciting. And, you know, shooting until 1 a.m. in the rain sometimes. And it's just, it was like very exciting and very fun, but also it's so grueling. It was definitely a window into what people put in time-wise into TV and film. And then that sort of, you know, I got the bug after that. I was like, okay, I've got my first foot in the door. Like, I don't want to lose the momentum, which is another thing I always advise, you know, younger people, like once I had those contacts, those don't always stay around. So I tried to do something about it while I still was in contact with those people. So I made the decision to move to New York after that from the Bay Area. Cause I kind of have to be in, at that time you had to be in LA or New York really, in my experience to be in the film industry. And I was definitely more interested in living in New York at that time.
Yeah.
So I moved to New York. I was lucky enough to have a friend let me sublet an apartment cause she was going to be gone for a little while. So it's sort of, that was the impetus there. And I moved there and eventually got on a show there called Rescue Me, which was a fire department show with Dennis Leary. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's on Hulu again. I was like, oh, wow, there's fun. I have to watch this for some memories. And a lovely designer, Caroline Duncan, hired me, who's still my friend and still an amazing costume designer out there. And that was my start. I was a PA in Rescue Me. And then it just sort of moved. You sort of have to just work your way up, even though I had, I'll say this to people who are starting out or young designers as well. Even though I had a BA and an MFA in costume design. I still started at the bottom and got coffee and emptied garbage cans and did all the returns and, you know, clicking around in shoes I probably shouldn't have been wearing for comfort on the subway. And so, I mean, it is not as glamorous as everyone thinks. And it's also was so exciting and rewarding and I had a great time. And so I just slowly moved up the ladder. I mean, there was good times and bad times, you know, sometimes you make a mistake and get fired. Sometimes you don't make a mistake and get fired anyway. I mean, that world is very fickle in some ways and the turnover is high and you learn your lessons just by doing it. You just kind of have to throw yourself in there. And over time, I just moved up. I was a PA and then I was a coordinator and then I was an assistant costume designer for a very long time because that's the hardest one to break through from assistant costume designer to designer. But that's also a very rewarding job. And a lot of people stay in that position as well because you really are working with the designer and are in the fittings and helping to run the department. A lot of times the assistant costume designer is the person behind, you know, the Wizard of Oz curtain, really pulling the strings and making things happen a lot. So yeah, I did that for like 10 years in New York and then also was still like, you know, very interested in just fashion. I loved fashion. I loved, you know, when the Vogue came out every month, it was so exciting and you'd sit and, you know, it was just like the Sex and the City episode. You'd really like sit with it with your coffee or your mimosa or whatever and just dive in. And that's not really the case these days. But so I think there was like something a little bit missing there. I loved, you know, costume design because it was about a story and a character and that was fun. But there was just a like just regular, you know, sometimes you got a period piece or sometimes people were like very working class and you're just like having to distress clothing because, you know, someone isn't, you know, the character is an auto worker and he's working on cars all day. So he has to be dirty. So it's not always about fashion or cool clothes, right? It's about a character and a story that you're trying to tell. It is really fun.
You're mixing fashion, which fashion is art, but you're mixing fashion and like making it like when you did like Rescue Me, did you ever have to do like
whatever you're getting at? Yes.
You know what I mean?
All of that. You had to fireproof all the costumes beforehand and And there was, you know, I was up the lower end of the totem pole in those days. So I was more like picking up the stuff and dropping it off. But yeah, there was there's so much that goes into stuff like that for sure. So there's a lot to learn there. Or just like distressing. When I worked on Orange is the New Black, which was a great show on Netflix, we would have to distress the prison uniforms. And it literally, you would do it so much and it still looked so bright on camera because the camera is just, the technology is amazing and everything looks beautiful on camera. So it's like, the amount of work you have to do to have something look distressed on camera is insane. I digress, but it's truly. So that was a really fun time to be a part of that growth at Netflix, which is now, as you know, like putting out a trillion shows a year. It was not the case in those days.
Right. What an opportunity. That's so cool. Wow.
It was cool.
It seems fun. Like I really know hardly anything about that world. So just listening to you talk about everything, I imagine it's like fast paced and kind of chaotic, but in like a really wonderful way of
exactly.
And it does seem like it would be competitive.
Calling all creative moms with big dreams and busy schedules. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the idea of writing a children's book? Do you find yourself lost in the maze of publishing details, unsure where to start? That's why Jacqueline Christine, a dedicated wife, mother of five, and passionate children's author, created the Children's Author Checklist. Because if anyone knows the struggle, it's Jacqueline. The Children's Author Checklist is designed to alleviate the overwhelm of the publishing process and empower aspiring authors like you. So say goodbye to endless research and confusion and focus on your next bestseller. Take control of your publishing journey and don't let uncertainty hold you back. Download your free children's author checklist today and take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. Visit jacquelinechristine.com/checklist now. That's jacquelinechristine.com/checklist.
And it's for some people and it's not. The thing I say the most is you have to be so passionate about what you do.
Yeah.
Especially that because you're doing it so many hours of the day. So I think that's eventually, and life is a long time. I'm not saying I wouldn't love to do it again, but for me, eventually I was kind of ready to do something else. I was really liking working on like some print stuff with styling that was more just like fashion based or, you know, lifestyle stuff. And that was fun. And then I ended up getting to work on a Madonna tour about 12 years ago. There was the MDNA tour under the amazing costume designer, Ariane Phillips. That was a really amazing opportunity, very grueling job. Again, it was a whole different world for me because I'd never done a music tour. You know, it's not union. There's also all different things involved. And it was a really tough job. There was definitely some some challenging moments during that, but it was so amazing to be a part of that too. And I got to travel the world assisting Ariane during that tour, which was definitely like 14-year-old Molly's dream at that time. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm in a fitting, you know, with this amazing iconic person.
Like, people don't do that. that's amazing that you got to do that. Like, what an experience. Like, that had to be fun.
And it was very fun. It was truly amazing. It was also truly the hardest thing ever. I mean, you work 6 day weeks, all hours of the day. I was so impressed with the dancers and, you know, Madonna herself was an incredible person to work under. I mean, really such a hard worker. I've never seen a hard worker like that in my life. I'm sure, you know, that's the level that you have to be at to get to where she is. So that was an incredible thing to be a part of for sure. But at the end, I was like so ready to be home. You know, you're living out of a suitcase for a while and it was crazy. For sure.
Oh my goodness. What a fun life. I love that. Okay. So you worked on a major Netflix show. You worked with Madonna. What's next? What are you doing?
Right. I think at some point, I mean, just what happens, this is what women go through. And this is a good way to segue into motherhood, right? I met my husband during the Madonna. I had met him before, but we started sort of dating at the end of my work on the Madonna tour. And we got very serious and sort of, you know, things change a little bit. I decided we wanted to have a kid. And once you get into that mode and once I got pregnant and, you know, you just change a little bit. And I definitely think there are some costume designers out there that can do it, but I didn't know if that was for me. And I'll just back up a little bit. After the Madonna tour, I sort of was able to got on a show called The Leftovers on HBO and was able to get my first design credit as a costume designer on TV and film. So that was it. I got an agent for the first time through my mentor there, Amy Stofsky, who was an amazing costume designer. If you want to look her up, was a great mentor to me the last years of film that I worked in film recently. And or not that recently anymore. And so I had sort of crossed that threshold and I was really excited because I was finally, you know, at that top position and interviewing to be the designer myself on film and TV. And that was really exciting. But of course, I was already pregnant when that started happening. Yeah. We, you know, as a lot of people, there's different stories and for all different kind of, you know, moms getting pregnant. I got pregnant very quickly. So I kind of thought, oh, it'll take some time, but let's start trying. And I got pregnant right away. So I sort of was grappling at that time with like, oh my gosh, like what does this look like? You know, I'm finally designing and now I'm going to have a baby in 9 months. So that was sort of what was going on and a little bit stressful. And then once I had my son, I kind of was like, you know what? I don't want to miss this. I don't want to not be in his life, which yeah. is the reality for some. You know, I'm not going to say everyone and everyone's journey is different, but for me, I really wanted to be a big part of my child's life. And I was not wanting to, just, I was seeing the future of what costume design for TV and film was looking like. And I just didn't know if it was for me at that time. So that's what kind of made me question that. And then we had sort of like a weird, scary incident in New York being the big city that it is and crime and stuff. And that kind of was just like the last straw when my son was like a newborn and we were just like, all right, it's time to go back to California and, you know, we'll figure it out once we're there. I think I was raised in Northern California. I had a pretty good childhood. I really liked where I grew up and I thought that would be a great place to raise my son. And thankfully, my husband, who was a New Yorker, had always liked California. So he, thank goodness for him, was down to try it. So we moved here and just kind of like started over. And thank God he loves it because we are still here 8 years later. But yeah, so we made the big jump and moved here. And that was another change in my career where it's like, okay, what is happening here? I did end up going back to do a couple jobs in New York just to sort of get some, you know, income going when my son was yeah. a baby, but we knew that it wasn't forever. It was just kind of like still trying to make some income while we were getting started in California. And I just sort of through some friends was able to like break into the world here, which is a little bit of everything in the Bay Area to be able to make a living. I'd say there's a union and there are some films that come through here, but the design team in general would come from New York or LA or somewhere else. And then they would hire like wardrobe people, which is an amazing skill and an amazing craft. It's not what I really do. I'm more on the design side and the shopping side and that side of it. So I did do one show with Amy Stofsky, the costume designer here. It's called Chance, I think. I think it only aired for like one season, but it was based in San Francisco and that doesn't happen that usually. And then just sort of was like breaking into the commercial world. There's some print work here. There's some commercials here and just slowly but surely kind of had to start over as an assistant again. But the nice thing about that was I had a lot of experience. So I pretty quickly moved up
yeah.
and have kind of been doing a little bit of everything ever since to, you know, piece a career together,
yeah,
which has been great. I love where I live. I've had the privilege and opportunity to have a lot of time with my son, but still be rewarded by work. I do miss TV and film sometimes and the excitement and being a part of, you know, the whole celebrity life in that way, but not enough to do anything about that right now. And then somewhere within that, in the last couple of years, I just decided what I was really loving about my job was the connection to people and talking to people about their style and their challenges with style. And that along with just how we evolve and change prompted me to start my private business, which I do personal styling. And that's what I've been really pushing for the last year and a half and have got some momentum going and it's really exciting. And that's what I hope to continue doing right now.
I love that because you have all this experience, you know, that you got over all of these years. I mean, then you got pregnant and everything. So like naturally the next step is, okay, do it yourself. Be, you know, have your own business as a stylist. And I love that you figured that out and got to that point. Tell us about what you're doing at the moment and then like your website and everything where people can go and, you know, maybe hire you or see what you're all about. Tell us about that.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, it's been really exciting. It's kind of something I just started on the side to like help bring in a little bit of income as well. And then maybe to get to control my schedule a little more, because when you do print or commercials or there's a lot of corporate tech and stuff here, all kinds of different jobs, you're on their schedule, right? And I would have to travel a lot sometimes. And again, it was starting to feel like, hey, this is sort of getting to the level of TV and film where I don't control my schedule and I'm gone a lot. Like how always trying to evolve, always trying to like work smarter. So I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to try while I'm still working, while I'm still have an income coming in on the side, I'm going to like, oh my God, attempt the abyss that is social media, which is very scary for a middle-aged woman to throw themselves into. But I've been very lucky to have some friends who are content creators that helped me, and a lot of just trial and error and just going for it in that regard. And so I've started to do that. And then it's just grown. I think in the last, like, about like 9 months ago, I'd hired some marketing people, some great Queen Palm Media helped me, and a content creator who's a friend, who's my neighbor, Stephanie Fritz, helped me get going with that. And then I decided to take it on myself. Anyway, along the way, I was able to start building up clients. And I was really gearing towards, because I'd done a lot of, you know, corporate work with tech people, I was kind of focusing on that initially, but it's really grown into just like busy moms or working professionals. I mean, the whole COVID situation and the pandemic, it's given everyone a whole nother level of challenge. We're back at work. People are wondering what to wear, people aging and how to like, you know, things that fit them or things that they liked 10 years ago aren't working anymore, or they're not in style anymore. So I am really actually so passionate about that part of my work these days. I love helping people, and I really love connecting with people and making them feel good about themselves, because it's so hard. I struggle with that myself still. And I have all this knowledge, and it's still hard to get dressed every day. So that's been really rewarding. And that's kind of what I'm focusing on now. And it is sort of building some momentum. So I'm really excited to hopefully grow this as much as possible.
That's so exciting. And congratulations on that next step in your life of doing that.
Thank you so much. It's scary, but I'm trying.
Yeah. Isn't everything though? Life's just scary. We just got to try everything.
For sure.
So on that note, I always like to leave like a piece of advice for moms listening on how they can, you know, balance motherhood. I mean, no one knows truly how to balance motherhood in life, in your creative life, but
I'll keep you posted, right?
Yeah. So do you have like a piece of advice or something you would tell a mom, a new mom, or a mom that's wanting to, you know, start a different career or start something that she did for 15, 18 years, maybe start something on her own? What advice would you have to a mom listening on how to balance their creative life and their mom life?
Oh my God. Well, first of all, it's really hard and it is doable. I'm right there with you. It's hard. There are days when I'm like, oh my God, I'm scared about our income. I'm scared about putting myself out there. But if you truly are passionate about it, you just have to put one foot in front of the other and keep at it. That's what everyone has advised me, and that's what I will advise everyone else. I'm really lucky. I have a great partner. My husband, Steven, is 100%, if not more, there for me. And we are definitely a 50-50 parent teen situation. So I've been so lucky to have that. If you can have that and you're lucky enough to have that, I think that is, you know, I won't lie, that's one of the main reasons I am able to do that. And then finding the time, sometimes you have to set that alarm early. So my son wakes up early. I only have one kid. That's the other thing. So I've got it down to, that's what I can handle. And so I will be honest about that as well. I'm sure it's even more difficult when you have multiple kids. I don't know about you, but that helps as well. But mm-hmm. I will just set that alarm early. Like if he's going to get up at 6 and I know that is my world until he gets to school, then sometimes I get up at 4 to work out and then 5 to like get some work done. That is the real, like, that is the reality of it. Or, if, you know, an evening person, which I'm not, like after they go to bed, you get back on the computer or you go back to work, you really sadly have to find that time in your day. But if you build it into your routine, it is possible. For sure.
Yeah.
And 100%. It's so worth it. It's reward, you know, it's so rewarding to be able to do that. I think it's really hard when your kids are really young and they're toddlers and babies. I think you do reach an age. So all your moms who are out there with kids at that young age, you do get yourself back a little bit. There was a change. I did feel like, oh my gosh, I feel like myself again a little bit. And so it's possible. I think it does help when your kids get a little bit older. So I think that's my biggest advice. Stick with it and carve out that time. Be realistic about that. You know, it's not going to work into your 9-to-5 day, because that really does belong to the child, or that 12-hour day, let's be honest.
It's true. Oh, man. Well, Molly, thank you so much for being here and talking with me about your life. And
thank you so much for having me.
And I love hearing about it. Where can everyone find you online, on social media and your website? Tell us where they can find you everywhere.
Yes. I think the easiest place is social media, sadly. And happily, I'm style. It's Style by Molly, but it's Style_X_Molly is my Instagram. And then a link to my website is there. I do free 15-minute consults with clients to get started, to kind of see where they're at. I have a number of packages, but I make custom packages for people as well. And then if you just want to follow me, I just give free advice. I try clothing of different like brands and different price points. I'm very much an advocate for, you know, the high low. You don't have to have everything designer to look cute. I do not believe, first of all, that's not realistic for most people. And then just tips, like things that look good on different body types, or like what, like where you should wear your belt if you're a man wearing, you know, business casual, which belt hold you. Just little things that are helpful. Yeah, I try to do a lot of free advice there as well. That's probably the best place to find me.
If you want to hear from me on more days than just Mondays, go to momswhocreate.com and sign up for my newsletter. I don't send out a lot of emails, maybe one every week or maybe one every 2 weeks, but I try to pack it with some goodness, some inspiration, what women are doing in the arts, and things along that line. So again, momswhocreate.com, you'll see it pop up or on there in there somewhere, and just sign up for the newsletter. Also follow me and the podcast on Instagram and Facebook at Moms Who Create Podcast and at Kelly Heil. Thank you guys so much for listening. I will be back next week with another mom/author. You guys have a good week.